Right at it. Right at it. Home. He's done it again. Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Alrighty, welcome to the ninth episode of the Go Get That podcast. This was a great one. We had a blast. Brooks Koepka Tracker brought some takes today. It was such a pleasure. He is from Australia, so we did this interview at 7 o'clock our time and 7 a.m. his time the next morning. So it was pretty epic. You can imagine the accent already. It's just perfect. And also just being a tracker with that much time change it's pretty cool. Some of the stories he has just about tracking through the nights and all of that. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun to hear someone from across the world also share the same complaints. Yeah. About
and he was
awful PGA Tour coverage.
No, yeah, we just wait. If you thought that the PGA Tour coverage debates were stuck in episode 7, you are wrong. Because they are. We went into depth about those again, and he was hitting the jackpot on so many points today. I mean, he's so knowledgeable about what he was talking about tonight. I'm not sure I disagree with anything he said today. He was saying all the right things, and you could almost get that sense of Brooksness from him because of the fact that he just he says he speaks his mind. Like and that's what I've always loved about him on Twitter. That's why he was the first one I asked on. Because I knew he had been on some podcasts before. I think he was on some of the FSU ones back at the US Open, but it's just hearing an opinion like his, like I'm sure most of you guys listen to this for our opinions on Jordan Spieth. Well, it's kind of just like it's the same thing. I mean, we talk about this, we watch more Jordan Spieth golf, and he watches more Brooks Koepka golf than anyone else in the world, really, most of the time. So it's just a very valuable and knowledgeable opinion. And he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, he was super cool. Really, he's awesome. He had his cup of coffee going. I mean, ready for work, but man, he's so knowledgeable about Brooks, and it's pretty clear that he's very passionate as well. And I think that's what's really cool and what makes him a really unique and exciting tracker to follow as well. So this interview was definitely a blast.
It was awesome. Yeah. I mean, I only track on Instagram, but if I'm ongoing on my personal Twitter, he's always one of the top couple trackers I look to, just the way he tracks. I mean, he's a thrill to follow on Twitter. So I think you guys are really going to love him.
I would even say I kind of find myself hating and liking Brooks Koepka every other week. Like, it's kind of like one of those things. He makes you like Brooks, as hard as that may be. Because I know Brooks has a lot of unlikable qualities, as much as he has likable qualities. I'd call myself a fan. I mean, I know I wasn't a fan of him with a lot of the Ryder Cup stuff, but like in majors, I'm always rooting for him just because of the aspect is really cool. And he makes you like Brooks, which is really cool. On Twitter, I'd say. I mean, his tweets make you want to root for Brooks Koepka, which is really cool.
He's full of energy, and that's
full of energy. Yeah.
If you're starting out as a tracker and you're trying to find like someone to like not mock your tweets after, but if you're looking for an influential guy to
don't do me
help you, I mean, do me. Brooks Koepka Tracker is like the guy for you. He's an electric tracker.
He is the guy. He is no one else on Twitter tracks like him. I'll link all this stuff in the description on YouTube, but be Koepka Tracker on Twitter. It's one of the best follows you'll find in the golf Twitter world. So
easily.
Yeah. So without further ado, from the land down under, Mr. Brooks Koepka tracker. All righty. Welcome to the 9th episode of the Go Get That podcast. This is our second interview with a man you guys probably know as Brooks Koepka tracker or BKT. That's really all there's to say. It's a pleasure to have you on way from the other side of the world. So
yeah. Land down under, boys.
Yep. All the way from Australia, which we'll get into that, how that translates to the tracking, obviously. But this should be a good one. I know we've been wanting to get a few trackers on you, and this just seems like a great start because obviously who has more to tell than, I mean, you've probably tracked more major wins. When did you start? I guess you just start right there. Yeah. When did you start tracking? Yeah.
The first win that I tracked was actually the 2019 PGA. So right. Bethpage.
All right.
Yeah. That was a good one.
That's a good one.
It was a great one. Yeah. And I actually started about midway through the first round.
Really?
So yeah.
So you started that tournament.
Yeah. So and I started won. That tournament.
Wow. You had a hunch.
I was looking at the tracker space and realized that Brooks didn't have a tracker.
So were you a fan before?
So I've been a fan of Brooks for a while. Like, I've been following his career. I think, you know, everyone's got their opinion on Brooks, but I think that as far as kind of a player with kind of more his God-given talent, but just not the God-given motivation, right? So it's one of those things where I was tracking his career for a while. I actually really started following him when he lost to Sergio Garcia at the Byron Nelson in 2016 in a playoff.
Yeah.
And I just thought he was great. I saw him on Europe as well. But I actually was a big Jordan Spieth fan as well. So
I think
this is like Jordan Spieth fan reunion. I'll tell you the story about that one as well. I was following trackers on Twitter, and I just couldn't understand why Brooks didn't have a tracker.
Right.
And I know why he didn't have a tracker, because he's like, you either love him or hate him, right? And so I thought, you know what? I watch enough golf. And I always had my personal Twitter account that I always just talk smack about golf and whatnot and so I thought, you know what, why not do something where I can kind of talk about golf, talk smack, and become a part of this community. And of course it blew up, right? So in the space of like 3 days, I got to about 900 followers.
That's wow. Right. Well, yeah, I mean, Bethpage, yeah, I mean, that's gonna help. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. You started that tournament. That's ridiculous. I started at the low point of his career, so
that's good though. That's what you need to do. That's a true tracker, right?
Yeah,
it's not about
exactly
the pace, it's about the trough.
Yeah.
But tracking Brooks it's had its challenges, right? Obviously, he's gone through his own issues with injury and whatnot. That was the first win I tracked. It was the first major I tracked. Obviously, since then, he hasn't won. But it was pretty interesting. Like that Sunday when he started blowing up, and he was kind of he was basically choking. Really, I think DJ got to within two or three shots, and it was literally all falling apart on the back nine. But he came through and. So yeah, that's how I got started. That's the genesis story, boys.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that he didn't have a tracker at that point. Like 3 majors in 2 years, and then the third or the fourth in the third year.
Yeah,
right?
There was a couple of handles around, but guys just weren't active. I was actually gifted my handle as well. So I started tracking as. Yeah, so I was actually tracking it on the B Koepka _tracker.
I actually remember Was it like Bruce Tracker who gave it to you or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. So he gifted me the tracker.
I remember
He kind of he passed me the torch.
Yeah, I remember that. Said, yeah, that's great.
Take this form. So he had the Beekeeper tracker handle, and we got to knowing each other because I was obviously a lot more active than any of the other handles. And he gifted me the tracker. So kudos to him, and here we are, almost 12,500 followers later.
That's crazy. Yeah, you're one of the biggest pages. You're one of the biggest pages, obviously, on Twitter, and Tracker Twitter, obviously. Let's see. What's your favorite Brooks moment, on or off the course?
Oh, what a great question.
Yeah.
Look, I have to say, on the course, it has to be the Bethpage win.
Right.
Yeah. Just because of how dominant he was through the first three rounds. It was unbelievable. And that was actually a hard major. The setup of the course, the field, I think that was probably my favorite moment. And there's been a lot of highlights since. I actually think that he had a really good Ryder Cup as well. I think he played pretty well to kind of get himself back into like a winning ratio, because he does have a winning ratio with Ryder Cup. Off the course, man, he's especially the last 6 months, he's been pretty controversial.
That's true.
I think Brooks enjoys being a personality as well, oddly enough, even though people think he doesn't have a personality. But I think that he's one of those guys that if you were to hang out with him, he'd be a lot of fun. But he likes to keep like a certain persona when it comes to kind of the public and how like he should be perceived on the course as this guy, like ice cold killer, even though he hasn't been an ice cold killer for a while. So I guess off the course, just all the stuff that's been going on the last 6 months, things with the Barstool guys, obviously the Shambo stuff that's been going on. It just keeps it interesting. Everyone's got their own opinions about all of that. You know, it's almost like it's pro wrestling. You have their stages and have they not, you know, this and that. But yeah, he keeps things interesting, that's for sure. And he started releasing merchandise as well. So
yeah,
here I am with my team's Brooks cap.
You are kind of, we got to ask you the elephant in the room. What is your like opinion on the whole like Brooks Bryson stuff? Yeah. Are you like anti-Bryson or?
Nah, I mean, I think it's one of those things, man, where if you're looking at it on face value, where Bryson, you could understand why fellow pros would have a negative opinion of some of the things that he does. Like, for example, pace of play, for example, just the way that he's kind of trying to experiment almost too much with the game as well. And also, yeah, sometimes his opinions, like he could be an annoying guy. But I think that I've also heard some podcasts with Bryson on it as well. And again, it's like a persona thing. He actually, when he has time to speak and it's like long form, he actually doesn't come across as what you think he would, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You'd interpret him as. Which one was he on recently? I think it might have been Foreplay. I forget the one that he was on recently, but it was really long. It was almost an hour long.
The one with
was it Bob Menery?
Bob Menery, yeah.
Yeah. And he was talking about, they were talking about the pace of play issue and the genesis of the Brooks controversy. And he was saying, and he kind of explained that, you know, I'm the same and I'm on the course. If I know that there's no group behind me and we're waiting for a group in front, I might take longer on the green. If I'm going to read, if I'm going to just like, you know, whatever, your pace of play, I guess, could change. That's what his excuse was, is that he felt he had time. So, I mean, I don't know if it's a good excuse, but he felt like he had time to read over the putt a few times, stand over it, back off, whatever, right? And then that's how it all kind of started. And then he was on a Twitch stream when he said that Brooks, with the body issue, the ESPN issue that Brooks did, he said that he didn't have abs, and he said that he had abs, and then Brooks came out and did the Instagram post about, yeah, I've got a four pack, and he showed his trophies, etc. And then that's how it all started. Apparently they've had words and whatnot, but I think also given, you know, the PIP program, all the rest of it, I think the guys, I think they're probably smarter than they look. They've probably sat down in the, they've probably come across each other so much more than what we see on TV. And they probably sat down and said, you know, what could we, how can we take advantage of this? And yeah, I think it's, is it good for golf? I don't know. Why not? You know, I guess people talking about it.
Yeah.
And the match that they're going to have up in November could be fun. It might show highlight if they actually have real personality, because they're going to be mic'd up for probably a good 2 hours. So we'll see if there actually is some banter there, and see what they can produce. But yeah, it should be good fun.
What were your thoughts like going into the Ryder Cup? Because there's a lot of Brooks kind of, I guess, negativity surrounding him because he wasn't there with the team the week before. He had the wrist problem. And people were talking about how he was a bad teammate and didn't care. Well, I guess I was I'm just interested to hear what your thoughts were about that.
It's another thing as well. Like he did a press conference where he said that it's how the media is interpreting what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And he came out and said basically like, you guys are taking it negatively. I just said that it's different. Like he's there to play, he's there to win. And it's one of those things, I think if someone can't articulate themselves well, or he feels like he's done enough to explain whatever the way he's feeling, how somebody interprets that, then it's really on them. And then, you know, clickbait golf journalism just went ape shit, right? And there were so many bad opinions out there, in my opinion, and I think they went a little too far, saying that he shouldn't even be on the team, he shouldn't be this, shouldn't be that. And I think his comments weren't actually that negative. He was literally saying that it, and I'm sure every pro feels this way, even though they don't come out and say it. Your routine's switched up to complete turns. You're thrown into a situation that you're not used to. He also came out and said he didn't play a lot of team golf growing up. Like besides college, he didn't play at the, you know, Junior Ryder Cup, et cetera, Walker Cup as well. So yeah, I mean, I think Brooks was there to play. And I think given the, just when he sees the footage of him celebrating with the team, being happy to be there, actually playing well as well, even in just kind of piss it up. I think that, yeah, I think it's more or less like what he says versus what he means. And then how the journos then interpret that and turn that into something that they shouldn't. Well, like in my opinion, I think there's a lot of uncalled for so-called journalism that was happening around that time.
For sure. I think that's, sorry to interrupt you, but I think
go for it.
That's like one of the beauties of Brooks. We, the three of us track Jordan, and Jordan's like that media sweetheart. Brooks isn't that. And that's why I think Brooks is so polarizing and so good for the sport, because Brooks doesn't give the media the answers they want to hear, the sweet stuff, the kissing up stuff. Brooks just, I mean, he's a straight shooter. And that's one of the things that I think the media doesn't love, but it's good to hear from a fan perspective, because he lets you in, I think, a little bit more deeper than a Jordan Spieth maybe would.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think I've commented it a few times. It's, you know, if you want stock standard answers, then what's the point of asking questions?
Exactly.
Like with Brooks when he came out, I think I was doing, I think I can't even remember the tweet. It was something along the lines of, just because, you know, it, does every answer in golf have to be, oh, it's great for the game, I love the game, et cetera, et cetera. Because then what are we actually asking questions for if we're not going to create some kind of conversation?
Exactly.
So I think if Brooks is going to come out and say how he feels, but also at least allows some comments that we can interpret or discuss or have conversations about outside of stock standard golf answers, then it, I think it's good for sport. And it is a sport at the end of the day. I mean, is it a club or a sport? You know, is golf, is men's golf a club that everyone needs to join and toe the line and say the same things and have stock standard answers? Or is it a sport where we've got individual athletes that should be able to say and speak their mind and also have a different way of going about things as well? So, yeah.
Yeah, golf always seems to be thrown in the pot of like the sport that develops the slowest in terms of like changing with the times, because you have to dress a certain way and act a certain way on the course. And I think like when they wore hoodies at the Ryder Cup, I thought that was really cool because that's like a new era golf thing. And I feel like Brooks is somebody that could push it forward pretty well as well, because he seems like a guy who's very present in where the world is today. And I feel like with the way he plays and the way he carries himself, I think he's a good face for golf, even if golf fans don't really think of him as a face of golf.
Well, I think he's the face of to your point, it's like the new era or the new phase that golf could potentially go into. I mean, I think from the mainstream perspective, golf has come a long way in terms of other athletes coming to the game. And also, like, for example, if you look at a lot of the NBA guys that leave the game and then take up golf because of that competitive nature, it's something that it's an individual sport. A lot of them are individuals, although they are on teams. And I think that kind of potential is there for golf to make it more mainstream. Not so much format changing, but yeah, your point, yeah, about culture, et cetera, is changing the way that culturally can be accepted and be a bit more flexible. So it does open the game more and does bring it a bit more mainstream. Even the way that, you know, even though there's so many innovation around the way they're doing the footage at the moment and the production, there's so much potential there for it to change. It still seems like it's stuck in this weird, like, oh, we've just found out about the internet, but they really haven't done much with it. So yeah, I think there's huge potential there to make it grow into more of an exciting sport to like follow and watch, right? Because golf is exciting. I think if people kind of, if you love the game and you play the game and then you watch it, it actually is quite an exciting sport, but it also has this connotation of being a boring sport at the same time. It's like a real kind of contradiction. Because the last thing some of my friends want to do is watch 4 hours of golf on a Sunday, 5 hours of golf on a Sunday, because they don't get it. But if you actually did make golf more applicable to maybe a wider culture and you brought fans in from some of these other sports, made it more, I guess, accommodating to like more of a kind of a fast food golf fan or a fast food sport fan, you might get more of an uptick in terms of people playing it and watching it too. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly agree with you there. I mean, golf definitely has that connotation of being a boring sport. But I mean, at the same time, I feel like in the end, that's just because more people agree with that connotation. I mean, there are people that think baseball is boring. There are people, I mean, I don't know many people that think football is boring, but like, it really depends on your preference. And I mean, for the people who like golf, I mean, it's really exciting. I mean, there's nothing better than watching Jordan or Brooks come down the stretch on a Sunday in contention. I mean, that's the best it gets for us sports fans, in this room at least. But yeah, so I kind of want to talk about how, so obviously you're from Australia. Wanted to kind of get an insight, like, how does your like sleep schedule work around the rounds? And like, I mean, it's crazy to think about, because you guys are a full 12 hours. Was it ahead or behind? It's ahead, right?
Yeah, so ahead.
It's Thursday morning for you when we're recording this. So yeah. So how do you get that done?
My favorite schedule is when Brooks is featured on the East Coast in a morning round. Because if he's taking off at say 7:30 a.m. Eastern, it's 7:30 p.m.
Gotcha. Exactly. Thursday, right? That would make sense.
So that's good, because that's like prime time. It means you can get most of the round out of the way without killing yourself. And tracking.
Exactly.
The worst rounds are the afternoon rounds on the West Coast. Because it's 15 hours, right? So if he's teeing off at, say, like midday on the West Coast, it's like 3 a.m. our time.
Yeah. Did you catch the end of Phoenix then?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So like if he's winning, you'll make that.
But did you miss the first part of it?
I tracked that whole tournament.
Oh, really?
It's one of those things where like it is hard, don't get me wrong. And more often than not, if he's not in contention and he's not featured, but I know that, like, for example, like Tourcast is available, I'll just do a round summary because there's really no point in me tracking shot for shot at that point.
At that point, it's not worth it for you, or especially when it's available elsewhere.
Exactly. And for me, it's more like I love to track, but it's more or less around kind of providing opinion and just having fun watching golf.
Bingo.
So even though I'm actually quite detailed when I track, because I track the way I would want to follow tracking.
That's awesome.
Yep, that's it.
So when I do track, it's very detailed. I do distances. I provide opinion on what I think is going to happen, what has happened, so on and so forth. And it's literally shot for shot and hole for hole. Whereas, you know, there's some guys out there that it's more a general type of opinion. It's more kind of conversation as you're going. And I find it actually hard to interpret. Like when I see some guys, like I don't know where the player is throughout the actual round. So like, you know, birdie, or it's the approach is stuffed, but has it just bogeyed the last three holes? Like, you know, where are we? How far through the round are we, et cetera, right? So to be that detailed and then having to track the kind of the time schedules, it can be pretty tough. But with that said, like I commit to majors, like much the same as the guy I'm tracking. So I commit to trackers. And I do definitely commit to most tournaments. And if he's in contention, I will definitely put the effort in. And if it's a bigger tournament, like if it's the Players, or if he is defending, or if it's somewhere where I know he plays historically well, I'll fight with the sleep schedule and make sure that I'm around because I want to watch it. It's not just so much like
exactly. It's not like a chore. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not because I'm tracking, but you know. At this point, with having how many followers I have, and see, it does feel like a bit of a responsibility as well, because it's easier to let down 500 people than it is to let down 12,500. Not that I'm letting them down, but if you know what I mean, like at the end of the day, we kind of build a followership, and we've got, I think we've got a certain responsibility to deliver some type of content at this point, even though we're not getting paid for it per se. Yeah. But I think it's one of those things where if you've got a reputation as a good tracker and you've got people that are following you and you are a Brooks fan and you are watching, then you should be delivering a good product.
Yeah, I agree. No, I wanted to touch on two points you made that I really found. The first one was that you track the way you wanted to follow. I really like that because it's definitely quite obvious that you're very unique in the way you track, which I've always loved. I know I've always kind of had the same mindset where if you're just looking for where his ball went, I mean, you can find that on Shot Tracker. There's a reason that's there. So most of the reason that people follow us, not just for the shot by shot updates, but also for the opinions. I mean, there's a value in that because I know me and you watch more Jordan Spieth and Brooks Koepka rounds than most people. So we have a kind of valued opinion because we know what's going on. I think you also had something, you also touched on the fact that it's not really a chore. I agree with that a lot. I think that's great because I know me and Jordan are happy waking up at 3 a.m. for the Open. I mean, I guess it's not the same for what is it, the every tournament, but I mean,
yeah, it can be brutal. And it's funny, right? I make the jokes when I know you guys having to wake up early, and I make the jokes that, you know, now it's time for you to suffer because I'm gonna do it almost every week, pretty much. But yeah, look, it's not a chore. I think it's at this point, it's a responsibility. And I do love to do it. But it is hard. At the end of the day, we are human beings. And if you're having to wake up at 3 a.m. 4 days in a row and with everything else that goes on in your life, it is pretty tough.
Yeah.
But yeah, you make a really good point too. I mean, at this point, I think I've watched more Brooks Koepka golf than most commentators. And like, for example, 100%. My opinion on, like, for example, his putting at the moment, my opinion on aim point and the way that he's going about it, I feel is is dangerous. I think that he's becoming a little bit more robotic in his stroke. He's moved away from field putting.
That's a good take.
So when I say that, and he's not putting well, and then the proof is in the pudding that he's missing 4 or 5 footers because he's overanalyzing what he's looking at in front of him.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so I think, guys, it's almost like, I'm sure you guys remember that video that came out a few months ago with Jordan saying that he, it's almost like he's forgotten to have fun. He just wants to go back to being a kid again.
Yep.
And I was like, man, talk about making me tear up, right? it's the point is that when he's a kid, even with Brooks, like if the last few months and with Jordan, it's the further you move away from field because you're trying 100%. To sort out what you're doing technically, the worst the regression could potentially be because now you're starting to bring something technical in what should be interpreted as something natural. And putting is the most natural part of the game. It has to be because you're interpreting so many different things. So, yeah, I've seen so much of Brooks putting that him moving away from, you know, starting on the toe, which was what he used to do, and so on and so forth. So I can only have that opinion because I've seen so much of his golf.
You're right about that. I mean, the evidence is there for your point that we watch more golf than the commentators in terms of like specific golfer. I mean, me and Jordan, we'll talk about it in like just in DMs about how ludicrous some of the PGA Tour commentators, some of the things they say, I mean, that just simply aren't true. Terrible. I mean, it's incredible how many times PGA Tour live commentators say that the best part of Jordan Spieth's game right now is his putter when it's just simply not.
But,
I mean, it's just all relative.
It's,
I mean,
it's one of those things. It is relative, but it's also one of the things that where there's push, there needs to be give. And so, if he spent so long trying to get off the tee, there's other parts of his game now
that 100%
are starting to suffer. but man, the longest time, like Jordan stepping up to the tee with a driver, it's almost like hold on to your hat, right?
Yeah,
because he was so lost. He couldn't get it in the slot. And now he's driving great, but his wedges are horrendous. And his putting is becoming too technical. He's one of the best field putters in the game, yet all of a sudden he's not even reading the breaks.
I agree with that.
So it's one of those things where it's push and give. I think some of these guys and pros, I mean, we're not pros, right? But I think when you kind of get an outside perspective, they try and get, they're almost overcoached, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
And Brooks always says it. I think I like his opinion on it. He's like, I've had the same swing since I was 7 years old. So I don't need that much time to get prepared for tournaments, hence why he doesn't practice, et cetera. But when he does want coaching, it's almost bad for his game because now he's gone to like Kenyan. He's got this other guy in, I think, Maryland. Moved away from the Harmons. And so now it's like if a guy that's spent his whole life doing the way he does it and gets coaching, the result can be very negative or very positive. And I think the same thing we're having with Jordan is that he's gone to some outside opinions and he's fixed a massive hole in his game, but now potentially it's starting to digress some of the other parts of his game.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. I wanted to go back to your whole responsibility thing, like when it comes to tracking. I found that very interesting because I feel the same way, and I'm sure you feel it too, Bob, the responsibility 100%. That we have to track, because I think our followers, they realize that we watch Jordan or Brooks. We watch them more than the actual golf writers do. So yeah. They, I think, value our opinions more than the golf writers because the golf writers cover everyone. So I think you make a really good point there.
I also think that, look, it's a responsibility that we put on ourselves. I mean, it's not like I'm getting paid by the PGA or ESPN or whatever. And to be frank, like I haven't monetized the account either. Not like I'm selling merch or doing anything like that. For me, the responsibility comes because I get DMs, man. Like, literally, I'll get people saying to me, thank you so much for this. I'm stuck at work. I can't watch the golf. Every moment that I get to see Twitter and I can see that, at least where, because I'm a big fan of Brooks, every time I see Twitter and I see that there's track here, I can at least keep up to date. And, you know, I get pretty animated when Brooke scores and I'll do GIFs and whatever, right? And I think that kind of brings some excitement to people who literally can't even see a shot, right? So it's not so much like, oh, I feel responsible. Oh, my God, how important am I? It's you're literally getting the feedback of how important this exactly. stuff is that you're exactly. doing yeah. for fellow golf fans. Do you know what I mean?
No, you mentioned that about yeah. the DMs. I mean, yeah, me and Jordan have talked about that too. I mean, that's just like the best feeling in the world to see that your product is being appreciated, especially since you're not monetizing the account. I think it's better that way. I think I don't think I ever have any plans of making money solely off Twitter because I just don't think that's what it was meant to be like. I mean, obviously, if Golf Channel offered me a job to go Jack Jordan Spieth every tournament, I take it. But I mean, it just doesn't really feel like that. And I feel like people have tried to do that. And I think it works to an extent, but
yeah.
Look,
I mean, there's a couple of the guys out there that have got Venmo set up. We've got a couple of guys out there that are selling merchandise. To remain nameless.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
No, yeah, I those are just perfect points. I want to ask you quickly about the coverage, because I know we never stop complaining over here about the coverage and how poor it is. I can't imagine it's any better where you are, just because you don't have all the I'm sure you use a VPN, right?
Yeah, it depends on if it's a major, I use VPNs because a lot of the time the streaming is directly from the websites.
So exactly. Yep. Access. Yep.
But I get Golf TV, which is the equivalent to PGA. The app is horrendous. It's so slow. And I can't believe that a company the size of Disney has produced something like it. But
it's very true.
It's all we've got to work with.
Yeah.
It is brutal. It's actually brutal for something that you pay for as well. The experience is horrendous. And that's on the application side of things. When you actually look at the product itself, man, I'm not afraid. I always tag in PGA Tour Live and also Golf TV. I'm always talking smack about them because you require the feedback at the end of the day. Like, I literally said it just the other day. I said, does anyone else feel ripped off lately that we're only getting two rounds of feature groups? Like, your production team hasn't gone anywhere. They didn't pack up Saturday night and say, you know what, or Friday night and say, you know what, we're leaving. Everyone's still there. Your team's still there.
It's also not a good product either. Like, it's not like we see every shot on Thursday and Friday.
Don't even get me started on
exactly. They get missed shots all the time.
I literally feel like there's a Brooks Koepka vendetta out there. You know, it's like
we feel the same.
It's not even. Yeah, you know, it's the worst thing in the world. Again, you've got a featured group. You've got tracking. All of a sudden, he's taking his approach or a putt. You know, hold on a minute. Where was the drive? Where was the approach shot? You know, it's actually a nightmare when I think about it, because it's not cheap. It's actually not cheap.
It's not.
It's almost more expensive. I don't know if this is wrong or right, but it's close to being more expensive than say Netflix. And Netflix, I think, it's like, what is it? Yeah, it's about what, 10?
It's like $10 a month.
It's about the same.
Netflix
right?
is like 11. So yeah.
It's about the same, right? So you think about the product that you get with Netflix and then the product that you get with PGA Tour Live, right? So I don't know. If I'm paying the same amount, I at least hope to get some kind of comparable.
Yeah, and I also especially you, because I mean, I don't track on Twitter. I only track on Instagram. I get on Twitter and I see the work that you put into your tweets. You're paying, I don't know how much it is in Australian currency, but you're paying the equivalent to 10 American dollars for your coverage, and they're not even giving you shots to tweet about. I mean, you got to skip your live tweeting, and you don't even know what happened to the last shot.
Man, it's hilarious, right? You feel like you're running some kind of data science experiment because you've got the PGA Tour app open, you've got Tourcast open, you've got Golf TV open, which is not working sometimes, even stream. Man, I've been in situations where my Chromecast won't work because of the app. And so now I'm like between the PGA app, Tourcast, but also fellow Twitter followers is how I'm getting my information for the shots, because the offering's not working. But anyway, it's the perils, right?
I mean, I wanted to touch on one of your points about how it's all, what almost pissed me off was at the players. I don't know if you use that where you could see every shot of every player. Did you utilize that? Were you able to use a VPN for that and get, or to Golf TV?
I did utilize it. The problem with it was, is that it was about six holes behind. So at its worst, right?
Wow. All right. Yeah, so we didn't have that problem in the United States. I actually thought it was pretty good.
Oh, really?
The thing that pissed me off was the fact that they can't do that every week. They clearly were able to do it for one tournament. They have the money to do it. I mean, why, and you don't need the commentators. I've been saying this. I'm totally fine watching, playing music in the background, just watching a muted screen of Jordan Spieth playing golf. Like, I don't need the commentators. The commentators usually aren't that good.
I mean, Spieth is his own commentator.
Exactly.
Like, that'd be cool to just listen to him, like, talk about whatever he's feeling in the back.
Gosh damn, Jordan.
every time. I mean, he gives his own commentary. But yeah.
You say they've got the money to do it, but realistically speaking, the advertising that they sell for a major would be different to the advertising they sell week to week. So production costs, et cetera, and also when they lean on IBMs of the world for that kind of thing, it's probably a lot more expensive to be able to do every week. But the point I'm making is that if you're going to do it right. That's all. That's it. Like
100%.
If it's going to be two rounds of feature groups only, give us every shot. Don't spit advertising in my face for a paid product. If you're going to advertise the beginning and the end of the broadcast for a paid product.
Yeah.
If you're going to give me an app that works. Right. You know, whatever you're going to do it right.
He's hitting on all cylinders.
Preach.
I think another point is, and I know Bob's brought this up before, is I know how you say logistically, the production cost would be a lot more to have like the every shot of every player every week. But Bob's brought up, there's a lot of diehards, including us, that would pay even more than we're currently paying for PGA Tour Live for just an upgraded product that's reliable.
Like a premium product. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. And to be honest, probably. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would have paid double to make sure that I get to see every single shot. Certainly. 100%. Yeah, why not?
100%.
Right? Exactly.
I mean, at that point.
Also, go on.
I mean, at that point, if we're paying, I know I do the yearly version. If I'm paying $69.99 for 12 months of sometimes seeing Jordan Spieth play golf, but not all the time because they can't guarantee it and they miss shots all the time, I'd 100% pay $150 if I could see every shot he hit during the season. I mean, if I'm guaranteed a product, I'll pay the money. Like it's not a problem. It's more the fact that I'm paying a lot of money already for a product that doesn't live up to half the standard.
Yeah. But Bob, the thing is you need to understand is that when you're in these large enterprise organizations, people need to justify their roles.
Yeah.
So you'll have some guy that's responsible for media buying or advertising that will push against a premium product because now all of a sudden they become obsolete.
That's true.
So it's like a big ship trying to move. It moves little by little by little, but if we were to do like things that are going to totally overhaul their product, although it sounds realistic and rational, there's guys in there that would most likely be pushing against it for a number of reasons, right? So, I mean, I remember when PGA Tour Live was free.
I do too.
You could watch it on the app. Yep. You know, and you moved to a paid product, and to be honest, it hasn't really changed.
It's got worse.
The product itself hasn't changed. Yeah. So, anyway,
no, you hit on all cylinders there. So, moving on from that, I mean, we could go on for hours about the PGA Tour coverage, and we do every episode somehow. So you talked about how you follow trackers. Were there any trackers you feel like were your inspiration, or did you just
Nah, dude, everyone was doing it wrong and I've come to do it wrong.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, that answers it pretty well.
No, that's not necessarily true. Look, I mean, there was the guys that were established, the Ricky Legends of the world, the Spieth trackers, Track and Field, the guys that were there with the big follow, the followerships. And of course I was following them all from a personal perspective. And I just thought there was a quote unquote gap in the market for a player that I felt is one of the best of his generation. He's an absolute, what's the word I'm looking for?
Stud.
He's a stud, but he's also an enigma of the game for a number of reasons. His personality, his persona, all this one. So, I'd say that there was a healthy influence from everyone, literally because they existed as trackers. I wouldn't say that, man, you know, Spieth Tracker was doing an amazing job and I wish I could be him. Because that would be inspiration. I think I was inspired in general because of tracking. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that there was one guy that was like, man, I can't wait to be as good as him.
That's well put. That's exactly how I felt when I started too. So yeah. So I did want to touch on, we talked about earlier about how you're known as very unique. And I'm kind of the same way. where it's like there's a style of tracking that you see, obviously, throughout Twitter that's kind of very the same. And I know we like to do it different, but so obviously you've been in the past kind of outcast almost by some of the other trackers, I feel like, just for, I don't know, could it be jealousy? Maybe. I mean, you have 12,500 followers, so obviously that is a big number, but I've always loved the way you've tracked, just because it's very
unique.
It's very exactly. That's really the word for it. It's very unique, and I love the passion that's there.
Yeah.
Because that's how I love to track. Because I know I'm very emotionally invested in Jordan Drown, sometimes too much. But yeah. So I just want your thoughts on that, really.
I've had my run-ins with people online, and I think it's as a result of a few things. Sometimes people don't like your opinion, and that's fine. Everyone's obviously entitled to their own. What I find really interesting is people think I am Brooks Koepka, so they take a they take almost like a personal vendetta against me as a person because I'm tracking Brooks, which I think is strange. Obviously, I've had my run-ins with the likes of TW. I've had my run-ins with, RM Tracker.
Yeah, I remember that.
I've had my run-in even with Spieth Tracker recently when he came out and unfollowed me because I'm Brooks Koepka's tracker and he didn't
know what to say. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, we're all right now. We're cool now. We followed each other back after he realized that Brooks was, you know, an all-American golfer.
Well, so. Brooks carried Jordan's behind around all of Saturday.
But you know, and it's one of those things. I've reached out to guys personally to kind of, you know, for me, I retweet the smaller guys. I like smaller guys' tweets. Guys who are breaching 1,000 followers, I try and give. I don't follow them personally because I just don't want to cloud my feed up too much.
No, I agree with that.
So when guys get to a certain level, I tend to follow them only because, not from a kind of an arrogant thing, but just because I love the content to a certain extent. But if you're kind of following everybody that's tracking Jordan, for example, or everyone that's tracking whoever, your feed's just going to become a nightmare. So, but I do like to, you know, at the end of the day, I have an influential account. So I do want to make sure that like all the ships rise at the same tide, if you want to put it that way.
I agree.
So, man, for me, like, I like the community. I'm not against anyone. I'm not one to kind of belittle others, etc. But we've had personal run-ins, and like, for example, with TW, for whatever reason, he's never followed me. He's never retweeted me. He's never I've reached out to him personally because he's had comments about me. But then, you know, Nuclear Golf, every opportunity they get, they speak about Brooks. So yeah. I was like, well, hold on a minute.
Exactly.
Well, oh, yeah. That's a massive contradiction, right? It's quite hypocritical to not support the guy that is one of the biggest trackers in the tracker space. But then it's another thing to then go out and try and almost provide information about Brooks because you know people want to hear it. So each of their own, you know, everyone's in their own lane. I'm all for the community. I'm all for supporting each other. And that's how I'll always be. But if others don't want to be that way, then that's on them. It's not my burden, it's their burden. So
yeah, I 100% agree. And I think in the end, if you're going to let pettiness get in the way on Twitter, what are you doing? I mean, it's Twitter, it's online. You don't know who they are. And I thought you've done a great job with every situation I've seen you get, and you've always handled it very well. And so I think you do it the right way. And I mean, yeah, that's really all there is to say about that. But yeah, there's definitely been some interesting. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, guys come around. You know, RM Tracker and me, we DM all the time now. We followed each other back. Speed Tracker followed me again. It even sounds petty to say that. He's followed me again. Oh my God.
Yeah. So yeah. I know where you're
But, you know, it is at the end of the day, if you want to be a part of a community, you have to accept the whole community, right?
Yeah.
So if following and unfollowing is a sign of respect and disrespect, because of the community we've created, then it is what it is. You know, we take it personally because we have created the environment where that is a sign of respect.
That's a very good point.
So if you're going to accept the community for what it is, then you've got to be participating how you want to participate. So, yeah, anyway.
I like how you're just like Brooks. You like to share your voice, which I think is pretty cool. You don't like to remain silent on stuff that's going on. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I do have a unique way to track, right? And I think, like, for me, it's I just like to talk smack and I like to have fun with it. So when I do my insane tweets and stuff, it's because I'm literally that excited and I just want to get everyone on the same level.
Right there with you.
Whether it's GIFs, whether it's fucking emojis, whatever it might be, it's just, you know, it's we're there to have fun, right? 100%. I'm not a journalist. I'm someone who's got a strong opinion on Brooks Koepka, and that's it. So let's have fun with it.
Well said.
Really well said.
It's perfect. So another thing, you're obviously you obviously have a relationship with Big Cat. How did that come about? I know he's a big Brooks fan, but.
Yeah, it's my secret weapon when I go against you in tracker matters.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Totally forgot about that.
I didn't want to beat you. I just wanted to beat someone else, but let's not talk about it. Anyway.
Yes.
I won't go as ham next year. I'll pass the mantle on. But anyway, how did it come about, man? The guys have obviously got a relationship with Brooks. And again, it's one of those things that there was nobody doing it well in terms of tracking him. And I think it just came about from once I was on their radar, like the PMT team, the Barstool team, they just started supporting me for that reason. And me and Big Cat have DM'd and whatnot. I wouldn't say we've got a quote-unquote relationship per se, but they have definitely supported me from a promotion perspective in the past. And more often than not, I called on them when the Tracker Madness was going on. I was like, guys, you know, let's get into it. Let's get it over the line for Brooks. It wasn't even about me. It was like, let's get it over the line for Brooks. Let's make his tracker the quote unquote best on Twitter, right? And so yeah, that's where it's come from. We don't really have an ongoing relationship. I don't think I'm going to appear on Barstool anytime soon. Maybe if I get to some ridiculous number in followers. But more importantly, I've got a relationship with Bob Koepka.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, that's fun, yes. That's cool.
So I've DM'd with Bob a few times. I've asked him status updates and where Brooks is at and whatnot as well. So that's pretty good fun there. But yeah, look, the guys at Arsenal are great. If they promote, they promote. If they don't, they don't. But yeah, it's nice to have, I guess, some recognition of the stuff and the work that we do. So yeah.
The Barstool guys, I've definitely said some stuff about them, like they're more fans than journalists, but at the same time, I think their importance in golf is really important nowadays with when you're trying to connect to a younger audience. I mean, especially in the tracker community, I mean, you got about your relationship with Big Cat. I know Dave Portnoy he was with Shane Lowry tracker, like getting on Shane Lowry tracker's back.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Kicking off Even Big Cat was giving me shit, saying I'm too
afraid. Yeah, he was saying that. I remember that. Yeah, everyone was getting the heat.
I just want the shots. Want the shots. It's so emotional. Yeah, all right, man, chill out, man.
Yeah.
But I put it back on him though. You know, I've said to him, I tweeted at him saying I'll try not to be too emotional when there was the Masters coming up. So, and he liked and retweeted it, right? So it's kind of like a push and throw.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
The Barstool guys have given publicity to our community, which I think is pretty cool.
No, yeah. 100%. I know who you were talking about, how Bob Koepka like follows you. I don't know. Me and Jordan have never really had anyone close to, like, in terms of family. I know I have one of his close friends follow me. Actually, I did have Ellie follow me a long time ago for like 2 weeks, and then she unfollowed me, I'm sure. Because I
said something about his wedges.
No, I requested to follow her because I didn't know she had an account. But then she never accepted, and then she unfollowed me. Her mom probably runs her account. So
the funny thing is, like, I sometimes have these weird thoughts, like, man, so there's no way we're not on their radar. There's 0% of us not being on the radar, especially when some of my shit goes viral.
Yeah.
And I know that Bob Koepka has liked something or retweeted something. It's like, dude, your dad's retweeting me. I'm pretty sure you follow your old man.
Yeah. Brooks, so, in that sense, is definitely more. Brooks is more on social media than Jordan is, because like Jordan's entire social media, I think for the most part, is ran by his management team.
It's 100%. He said he didn't know any of his passwords.
Exactly. So. Like Jordan doesn't do anything on social media anymore. Brooks actually, I think, runs his own accounts, which is pretty cool.
It's gotta be
to some extent for sure. I reckon. I'm sure there's some management that gets involved at some point, some of the promotional bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think you're right. I think that there's more of Brooks in. Yeah, I think there's more of Brooks in his accounts than most golfers, especially the guys who have big management teams, like Jordan. But yeah, it's just funny. There's no way that they haven't seen some of the stuff that we push out. So it's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't think about it much. But like if they're way out of contention at some no-cut event, just somewhere in the back of their mind, like they hit a bad shot. It's like, man, some dude on Twitter just tweeted about me. That's gotta be.
Man, I probably don't want Jordan looking at my tweets. I remember my third to last tweet was talking about how the ump last night was as bad as Jordan Spieth's putter. I don't know. I probably shouldn't have tweeted that. I probably should have kept that in the group chat, but I did tweet it because I was very emotionally invested in the Red Sox game. So I probably don't want him looking at those tweets, but at the same time, it's all love. Like, I mean, it's just, and I'm sure they know that. I mean, they know that their fans are kind of like that.
I know I was kind of in the same boat probably a few months ago. I put out a post criticizing Jordan and I got like a snarky comment like, Jordan's a world-class human being. And I click on the person's profile and freaking Christine Spieth, Jordan's mom, was following that person. So someone with, I guess, relationships to the Spieths was getting on me for criticizing Jordan's golf game. I mean, that's tough. I mean, that hurt my feelings.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty brutal. But even like before, I've just scrolled down to my tweets and I had a here we go, who's ready to ride, # CJ Cup, and I had the gone in 60 seconds, okay, let's ride gif, And then Brooks four right, was his best shot. And you think about, man, yeah, exactly, right? And you think, far out, I'm trying to hype us all up, and then this guy just puts it into the trees, literally, into the desert in that case. Yeah,
it's crazy.
So, yeah. It's almost ironic, really.
Yeah. So, pretty much the last thing we want to talk about was, so what's your opinion with Brooks right now? Because I know there's a little bit of a slump going on, kind of. I mean, I feel like he's almost kind of at a slump for the whole entire last year. I feel like Phoenix was kind of out of nowhere. I don't really remember him having much form coming in. I know obviously he had a lot of injuries and somehow still competed in most of the majors, but that's like a given for Brooks Koepka every year. What's your opinion on Brooks's current like state?
He actually came off three missed cuts when he won in Phoenix.
Yeah.
To put some perspective in terms of turning something on or not. The problem with Brooks is he's been injured, and every time his form started trending, these injuries have come out of nowhere. His current form, I think, is a mixture of, I feel he's a bit lost from a coaching perspective. He's got, I think, a few different opinions in his life now, where when he was with Claude Harmon, he had one voice of reason for the majority of his game. But now he's working with Kenyon. He's working with, I forget the other guy's name, in Maryland. He's also been working with the guy that McElroy's been working with. What's his name? The English guy.
He's popular too. He works with
yeah.
a lot of people.
It's going to stump me. Hold on, I'm going to get it because it's going to stump me.
Yeah,
I don't know who you're talking about. Rory's went with someone new. I think I was reading about that.
Yeah.
Like Rory just went to someone new right before he won.
Pete Cohen.
Yeah.
Brooks also works with Pete Cohen, but not on a full-time basis. And I think a lot of it's this short game. So I think it's a case of like his body hasn't been right for a long time. I think it's worse than he lets on as well. And it's all well to say that you're fine, but, you know, as you guys know with golf, as soon as one part of your mechanics are off, because of the small margin of error of things, it's going to affect you for a long time until you kind of find a new way to get it in the slot, find a new way to swing. So I think it's a mixture of he's finding his way coaching-wise, his body's finding its way, but he can play great golf, and this is the issue with Brooks, is that it's almost like he's forgotten to, he's uncertain of himself. And so when it comes to those big, like he'll go birdie, 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 and all of a sudden he'll do a double something.
We've lived through that.
I feel like there's a trust issue there with his swing, or something's going on there where and his wedges have been horrendous. His proximity to the flag has been absolutely atrocious.
Sounds familiar.
So I don't know. Is it an equipment thing maybe? Is it a swing thing? Is it a combination of both? I feel like he's trending, though, in the right direction. I think for now it's just getting the healthy reps in and playing as much as he can, because that was where he suffered last year, is that he didn't have enough healthy reps, I think.
Are you optimistic about the new year and him winning majors next year?
I am. I feel like he's a really good chance for the Masters. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a really good chance at St. Andrews. The reason why I say that is because it's his boyhood dream to win at St. Andrews.
Yeah.
So that motivation mixed with Brooks Koepka at majors, mixed with healthy Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say those two tournaments for me, I think is where Brooks shines. He's also got a massive ego. So I think him not being able to like play well last year because of his leg at Augusta, I think that's will be a big motivating factor.
Yeah, that'd be the slam too if he wins them both. Yeah. And you know Brooks wants to slam for sure.
About his ego, actually, I feel like that's important, because Brooks's ego is very present in him. It's part of his personality. But what people don't know is that's the ego that almost every big name has on tour. Jordan Spieth has it too, somewhere in there. You have to win at that level. And people hit on Brooks's opinions for that reason, because his ego really comes out from him. But at the same time, everyone's like that, like out on tour.
How can you not be?
How can you not be? Exactly. Exactly. And how can you step up against the best players in the world and confidently and win a tournament without being confident that you're the best in the world? I mean, every player thinks of that.
So the reason why people love Tiger, this is going to be controversial, but why not? One last hot take before I have to go to work, guys. So here we go. The reason why people love Tiger Woods is because he was good. Full stop.
I agree with that.
It had nothing to do with his personality. It had nothing to do with his locker room manner. It had nothing to do with his interviews. The reason why people love Tiger Woods is because we love to watch success happen in front of our eyes in a sport.
We love dominance.
We love dominance, right? The reason why people have fallen back in love with Tiger after everything he's gone through is because he's actually humbled himself. So now it's like a case of he's not as good potentially as he was, because he never will be. He's old. It's just Father Time said he's going to say you can't be that good anymore. But also it's like, he's humbled himself. He's ingratiated himself. So now the golf isn't as important. And now the personality is a bit more important, because people reminisce on what Tiger used to do. Yeah. But at the end of the day, every golfer on the planet would want to be as dominant as what Tiger was. Right?
And
how can you can't do that whilst at the same time try to appease everybody from a PR perspective. Because it's a mentality, it's a mindset thing. It's how you approach. It's almost like how you approach everything in the sport. I've heard stories about Tiger Woods wouldn't even look at people in the locker room. I've heard stories of people, he'd walk past junior golfers and wouldn't even shake their hand, like junior pros and things like that. And so if the media was, or if social media was what it was now 10 years ago, he'd be the most hated guy if it was just on based on personality and the way he interacts with people. But he won every week. So it's a funny thing. I don't disagree. The thing with Jordan is that he was dominant for a long time, and he was touted as being the Tiger Woods of his generation. You know, 15, 14, 15. Like, that's it. We found him. This is him. Right?
Yep.
And he was also a good PR guy, because good-looking gentleman golfer from Texas, great family, can play golf like a magician.
Yep. Yeah.
But it's one of those things that his dominance stops, and then everyone starts having an opinion on Jordan, and now it's like trying to find that back. People are going to have their opinion on what he should be. Does he have to be arrogant and egotistical? Maybe not. But I'm sure if Jordan wasn't a great guy, but he was winning every week, people would still love him just as much. So
the dominance will be back, though.
Yeah, and you know,
I think so.
You know, I think you're spot on with that Tiger point too. And I mean, I feel like mostly in golf, but there has to be, like, I talk about this when I'm talking about like the president of the United States. I mean, it's sort of like the same thing where if you don't think that you're the best person to run the world, why are you running for president? Like if you're trying to beat the best golfers in the world, you have to think that you're the best golfer in the world. I mean, it's just like, it's one of those things. But yeah, I mean, you've been spot on basically all night with all your points. So
we appreciate you for coming on.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Yeah, it was a great discussion. I know you have to get to work, but it was awesome. I mean, I had a lot of fun. I mean, your points brought up were really good, especially about the coverage, and that last point about Tiger Woods was really good, I thought. So
and the influence on being a tracker was just awesome to hear.
We probably haven't talked to, I mean, the only person that we've talked to or talked about in this episode that has watched more Brooks Koepka is probably Bob Koepka. I mean, that's basically it. I mean, you're watching Brooks Koepka every week. So, again, there's that opinion that comes with being a tracker that's pretty valued.
For sure.
No, thanks, boys. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Absolutely.
Let's do it again.
Love yeah, to come if Brooks back wins, let's
see. Tournaments with you guys. Yeah,
if Brooks that wins, too, let's have you back on. Absolutely.
Even if Jordan wins, you can have me back on because you know there's a spot in there.
I do Jordan. Know you're a big Jordan fan. Yeah, absolutely.
You have to figure out how to make a pop.
Oh, the story I wanted to tell you. I needed to tell you the story. Hold on, really, really quickly. So
yeah.
When he was final round in 15, it was 3 a.m. in the morning when he was on track to win. And I was actually in bed watching it. And my girlfriend was sleeping next to me. And when Jordan put it in the water on the back nine.
Oh no.
You know what you're talking about.
I gasped. Like I went, I gasped. And I actually gasped so loud that I woke up Kelly. I woke up my partner and she was like, What is going on? And I said, Jordan just put it in the water. And she's like, oh my god, go to bed.
Sour note.
Yeah. And
that's incredible because that's probably exactly how we all
Yeah, and she's like, oh my god, just go to bed. You got to go to work because it's Monday morning here, right?
Yeah. That is ridiculous. Wow.
But yeah, that's my story. I literally gasped so loud because I was like, man, Jordan's going to win it back-to-back, another green jacket. Oh my god.
Yeah, I'll find myself fist pumping in my bed while watching. It's just like, it's kind of like that situation where like, I mean, I know when he made that, when he made that on the par five on the back nine of Valero, like the 14th, when he made that like 8-footer, I had a little fist pump going like that. Like those were the putts he was never making before that. And he made them all that one week and it was special and it was incredible. Yeah. I mean, it was a pleasure having you on. And we'll certainly do it again. Cause
awesome you on in the future as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, look, all the best. As I said, thanks for having me on, and I'm more than happy to come back whenever you guys are keen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Great.
Have a good day,
boys. Thanks so much.
Cheers. Yeah, have a good day at work. Yeah. Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Bye.